Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
This morning, I'm speaking on a message that I have entitled Stand. And it is on the full armor of God. And if you've spent any time in church or reading the Bible, I'm sure that you have come across a sermon or a study, or you have read about putting on the full armor of God. But as I was praying about what to speak about, it, God was leading me in this direction. And one of the things that that stood out to me this time around, and I don't know how many times I've read about this, was the idea that God was calling us to stand. See, when I think about armor and I think about putting that on, I think about war. And when I think about war, I want to be on the offensive. I want to go out and I want to kick some tail. Right? Like, the Seahawks are playing right now, and if you tell me the score, I'm going to throw this microphone at you. And we've got a pretty great defense. But lately, our offense has had some problems. They need to get their act together if they want to win. And so when I think about the full armor of God, my natural reaction is to think about being on the offensive, going out, winning battles, taking names, killing everything in sight. But what God was helping me to understand over the last couple of weeks is that if we're really going to put on the full armor of God, it is not necessarily about going out and attacking everything that is what we feel is offensive to us, but it is about standing in a new understanding of who God is and what he's called us to be. I think all of us have felt attacked. If you've never felt attacked, let me know what you're doing. But Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he is, in true Paul fashion, he is going through a bunch of theological ideas, and this is the closing of this book. And what Paul always does is at the end, he kind of just lists off a bunch of stuff, like last minute, like, hey, just want to remind you. And I, for some reason, I always like that part of Paul's writing, because it's just like, he's not going around the circle. He's just laying it out here. Here's what you need to do. Just a reminder. And so in this book, he just got done talking about being in submission. You know, everybody's uncomfortable favorite topic, women being in submission to their husbands, husbands being in submission to Christ, slaves being in submission to their masters. It's uncomfortable. And it's always funny because to really be 100% submissive to God, that's hard to do. And in fact, I would say it's nearly impossible to do. But what Paul is doing is right after this, he is giving his final instructions. And to me, he's saying, hey, you need to be submissive. Here's how you need to live a Christian life. But here's how you actually do that, because you can't just try harder. You can't just do better. You've got to be spiritually aware of what's happening. And so in chapter 6, verse 10 of Ephesians, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want to pause right here because Paul makes a huge, important thing that we need to understand in our lives. Our battles, our struggles, what we are going through is not against flesh and blood. It's not against what we see. And I think a lot of times we understand that and we see somebody who does something wrong to us and we say, okay, I know my battle is not against flesh and blood. That person's just being used by the enemy. And that's good. That's an important thing to understand. But we have to also understand that we, our own flesh and blood, are not the enemy. See, sometimes we spend so much time fighting ourselves, fighting our circumstances, our temptation, thinking, I just need to be better, and I just need to do better. And the whole time God is saying, no, stop putting your focus on yourself and stop putting your focus on me. Start putting your focus on the spiritual things, on the heavenly places. But see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to say, listen, let me show you everything wrong that you're doing. Let me point out every fault that you have. Because if I can just show you how bad you are, you will continue to be enslaved for the rest of your life. Our battle is not our circumstance. Our battle is in the spiritual realm. And we should be spending our time fighting spiritual forces. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. I look out on this congregation and I can feel some of your spirits, and some of your spirits are just plain worn out. And you're saying, you know what? I can take one battle. I can fight this battle, and I might be able to fight that battle, but I've got all of these other battles coming from every other side, and I have nothing left to give. I'm done. I'm tired. And we come before God and we say, God, take these things away from me. I'm exhausted. And then we get shot in the back. The word tells us, stop trying to fight that battle. Stop trying to win everything. Win every, well, that I got a temptation over here, so I got to fight this, and then this person's giving me problems, and so I've got to go confront that. And you're spending your whole time trying to put out little battles that you're never going to win everything, right? But that's what we want. If I'm putting on battle, I'm winning every fight. But the Word of God says, all you need to do is stand. When you've done everything else, just stand. And I think what he's saying is, when you finally get tired of trying to do this on your own, go ahead and just stop and just stand there. Go ahead and just plant yourself, root yourself, and let me take care of these battles. But here's how he's going to do that. Verse 14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. It's funny that Paul starts out with the belt. Because, you know, if I see somebody walk into the room and they've got a new outfit on, I'm not like, ooh, nice belt. I mean, maybe if they've got one of those, like, giant Western belts with the belt buckle that goes from, like, chin to kneecap. Like, nice belt. How many wrestlers did you have to pin for that? But what we have to understand, he says that it is the belt of truth. And soldiers in this time, when they would go into battle, they would wear like this tunic shirt thing. and it would go down pretty low. It was kind of like a nightgown, really. And that was the first thing that they would put on, that was, you know, just sort of their under, you know, covering. But the next thing that they would have to put on is they'd have to put on the belt. They put on the belt first because it cinched up the loose clothing. But every other piece of the armor attached to the belt. The breastplate attached, the sword attached, the shield attached. Everything was attached to this belt. And the reason for that is if you're out in battle and you're swinging your sword and everything's loose, you're going to get tangled up. Right? I don't have a lot of loose clothing for obvious reasons. But I could imagine, right? Well, actually, for Spirit Week, we had Throwback Thursday and I dressed up in a toga, which was a bed sheet. And women, I have a lot more respect for you after wearing that. It was hard to move around. I was tripping on it. It was getting caught in doorways. This is nuts. But if I've got a sword and my clothing's out flapping around, getting in my way, if my breastplate, if I go to swing and all of a sudden my breastplate goes flying out and around, if my sword ends up behind me because my belt's not tightened and it's swung around, it's going to cause some problems. But what I like about this is Paul says, put on the belt of truth. If we don't have a correct understanding of the truth, all of our other gear, all of the other things that we have put into our lives become useless and hazardous. See, what happens is we come into church and we get a partial truth of who God is. And we accept that, and then we go to a Bible study and we learn something, and we take that piece, and that's a weapon that I can use, and that's a defensive mechanism I can use, and this is that. But if I don't have an understanding of who God is and how that all fits together, all of a sudden I get into battle and I can't really use any of these things, or I try to use this weapon, but it ends up causing more pain and more hurt than it does good. I don't know what you're saying. Well, how does that work? How does that happen? How does that happen? It's happened to you. If you've ever been hurt by somebody in church, in the name of good. Hey, church splits happen because of that. People leave angry and upset because somebody has a partial understanding of who God is and who Jesus is. And so they believe that they have a correct understanding and they march forward. And in the meantime, they're killing off their brothers and sisters left and right. And they're saying, well, I'm doing what I know God to be. And what I have to say to those people is, you don't know who God is. You don't know, you're not doing right if you are hurting people in the process. Truth is about knowing the character of God. And that's what God began to show us that this morning in our time of worship. Truth is about knowing the character of God. Can we trust who he says he is? No, not can we spout it off. Not can we quote scripture, but do we trust? See, it's different to know something and to trust something. If you notice, I put this music stand right on top of this. Because I know that that is, I don't know who built it, but it is structurally sound. But I don't trust it. Because of past experiences, and we won't get into that. But that wooden box there, I don't trust it. See, I can do the math on why that would be fine if I walked on it. Not going to jump on it, but if I walked on it. But that doesn't change my trust in it. See, we can come to an understanding where we can philosophically talk about God and we can talk about how good he is, but until we can fully trust our entire lives with him, that's all just head knowledge. And I've told this circumstance, but I was going back through my life, and when were times that I really had to trust God beyond just a head knowledge. And when you begin to trust God beyond a head knowledge is when what you're walking through doesn't make sense to anybody who is not walking with God. When what you're dealing with doesn't make sense in the world's eyes. And for Angie and I, that came just a little over a year ago. Maybe it's about 2 years now. We began to feel like God was calling us out of our place of ministry, and that he was calling us to something different. And through many weird circumstances, we ended up getting into contact with Mrs. J, and she asked if we would come and we would take over the school. And then we met with Pastor and we talked about taking over the youth group, and it was great, and we were pumped, we were excited. And then came the hard part. Another uncomfortable situation. Well, that's cool, we're really excited about this, but how much are you gonna pay us? Right? Like, nobody wants to ask that question. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, like, anywhere, but especially in ministry. Because if you know our heart, we would do it for free if we could. But we can't, so don't take it away. But it was funny because we asked Mr. J, so, Mr. J, how much would we be making? Oh, well... well, we can look into that, but, you know, the church can help if you want to do youth ministry. You didn't answer our question, but... Okay. Pastor, we'll talk to Pastor. He'll give us a straight answer. Pastor, how much... Well, you know, we believe that God will take care of you. I believe that, too. How much are you going to pay me? And we walked out of meeting after meeting, and honestly, we had no idea how much we were going to get paid. But we had a whole bunch of faith in God. But here's where I knew that we were trusting in the character of God. I went to my mother, and I said, hey, Mom, we're going to move here. And she was so excited. Oh, my grandbaby, and this is going to be great. Yeah, and she said, well, how much are you going to get paid? Well, we don't really know. Well, you're going to get paid more than you're making, right? No, I know that for sure. I'm very confident in this one thing. It's not going to be as much as we were making. And she began to, well, how are you going to make it? What are you going to do? Where are you going to live? How's that going to work? And I had to begin to trust God, to lean in to who God said he is. To believe that God would fulfill his promises that he spoke over our lives. And we had all the faith in the world, and then we sold our house, which was, as you guys know, a crazy great story. And there was a lot of faithfulness in that. But then we got here and we got our first paycheck, and I did the math, and we had a $12,000 pay cut. Gulp. You know, like a few hundred, you can move some things around. But that was a shock to us. And I remember sitting in the living room going, Angie, I don't know how we're going to make this difference up. I don't know what we're going to do. And then we had the lovely requirement to have to get health insurance. I was a teacher since I became an adult, and so I always had insurance as part of my job. And now all of a sudden I got to figure this out, and that costs money. And I'm thinking, I already lost $12,000. Now I've got to pay for some crummy health insurance that doesn't even cover anything. But God is faithful. And I can say that and you can nod your head, but until you have been in a place where you have had to trust him, you don't know it as truth. And so sometimes as you're going through battles, God is trying to teach you the truth about who he is. Don't fight those battles just to try to win. You need to be able to be open to God and say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? God, why did you allow this to come into my life? How are you changing who I am and how I understand you because of this trial? If we have the belt of truth, everything else falls into place. And the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate covered the vital organs. In particular, it covered the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. God showed me a few years ago that when your heart is righteous, your actions are righteous. See, for a long time in my walk with God, I focused on the actions. This is a sin and I need to get that out of my life, and that's not a right attitude and I shouldn't have said that, and I need to fix this over here. That's just, I don't know, it probably doesn't look good, so I need to fix it. And I had a list of things in my life that I had to try to check off. Okay, I took care of that. And then 3 months later, it would be right back again. And I would put it down at the altar and I'd say, God, take this from me. And it would go for a couple of weeks, and then I would run out of steam and I'd get tired because of all the attacks, and it would be right back again. And what God helped me to understand was, it's not about the actions. See, that's what the enemy wants us to focus on. Get distracted by the actions and trying to fix what you're doing. But what God is trying to do, and what he's always said in his word, is if you can change your heart, your actions will follow. That's why Jesus said, you're like whitewashed tombs. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. What's happening inside? That's why he called some jacked up fishermen and tax collectors and doctors, that he knew what was happening inside. You may not look the part, but you're the real deal because I know what's going on the inside. So he's saying, righteousness. If you can protect your heart through righteousness, then all of the other actions, all of the other battles that you're trying to fight, they just disappear. All of a sudden, something you struggled with for years, that you thought you would never be able to break those chains, when God touches your heart, when he's allowed to heal a broken part of your heart, all of a sudden you look at that and say, I can't believe that was ever a struggle. I can't believe I ever wanted that. I don't want that anymore. But it's not about trying harder. It's not about doing better. Verse 15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The sandals that they wore as part of their armor, like they wore sandals. And they had like straps that went up to their knees. I'm like, complicated. But they had little stones or spikes, depending on where they're at, that would stick out. And they were like cleats. And so what we need to understand is that when they were in battle and the enemy was pushing against them, what they would have to do is they would have to dig their feet in. And they have to allow those spikes to say, no, I'm not moving. You're not pushing me back. Sometimes our greatest victories are not in advancing, but just not being pushed back again. not being put back to where we started. And I think sometimes we need to look back every once in a while and see where God's brought us from, because we can get hung up in, I'm losing this battle, I'm not advancing like I want to, I'm not being as effective as I want to, when all we need to do is go, oh, okay, I've come away. I've come a distance. And right now, the battle is just about not losing where I'm at. But it also allowed the soldier to gain traction when the enemy wasn't there. When the enemy wasn't pushing, we had traction to move forward. I don't know if you've ever had a cheap pair of shoes and tried to walk in like a muddy situation, and you start sliding all over the place. You need some traction. And I believe that God calls us to some messy places. God calls us to go into places that others don't want to go, into hurt and into pain and into bondage. And if we do not have traction, we're going to be in a pretty sorrowful state. But I like that it says that it is, your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. Are we ready to advance the gospel? Are we ready to share who God is, who Jesus is? No. Not by rioting or picketing. Not by Facebook blasting anybody we disagree with. Yeah, I said it, okay? I am sick and tired of Christians being known for what they are angry about. I am tired of seeing Christians blasted because we can't get along with anybody. Now, I'm not saying that we have to agree. I disagree with a lot of people. And can I be honest? I disagree with some of you about different things. And that's okay. I still love you. We know that being angry and having picket signs and boycotting doesn't do anything but to weaken our witness. We're not changing anybody's mind by telling them that they're wrong or by telling them that it's a sin. They don't care. They don't believe in God, so why do they care about sin? What this scripture is telling us is if we're going to advance, we advance in peace. Political unrest is at hand. Do we bring peace? Now, I'm not saying vote like everybody else is voting. You vote your way. But when you talk about politics, are you bringing peace or are you trying to stir the pot? Are you trying to bring unrest? Are you trying to get people to get upset, to start shouting, to pick up a sign and march down the road? Or are you bringing peace? Oh, see, I'm touching on somebody's right now. They're like, you need to be quiet and go sit down. Peace to you. Racial tension is escalating. And whether you believe that it's true or if you believe that it's a media thing or if you believe that whatever, I don't care what you believe about it. Do you bring peace to the situation? When you enter the conversation about these issues that are plaguing our society, do you bring peace or do you bring anger, hostility, rebellion? Shoes fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. I don't know about you, but good news should bring peace. Good news for me, somebody said, hey, I've got good news for you. I'm like, yeah, bring it. I'm ready. Tell me what the good news is. I don't like you. God hates you. Oh, that's not good news. That's not good news. No, Good news brings peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Shields in this time, there was two kinds. There were some made of layered leather, but the majority of them were made out of wood. I thought they were made out of metal, but it makes sense because carrying a giant metal shield would be really heavy. So they were made out of wood, which it stopped a sword attack. It stopped arrows. But of course, the enemy learned pretty quickly, hey, their shields are made out of wood. So all we have to do is to light our arrows on fire. Right? So they've got this shield strapped to them, strapped to their belt. And they're like, ha, we got your arrows. Oh, that one's on fire. Oh, my shield is on fire. I'm on fire. So what they would have to do is before they went out into battle, they would soak their shield in water. Some of us, our faith is like that wood. It's dried out. It's dead. It's dry. And we may be able to fend off some attacks, but when those fiery arrows come time and time again, pretty soon we realize my faith is failing. My faith can't stand up to this one. It's spreading. We need to soak our faith. We need to saturate our faith in the living water. We got to spend time with God. As Marlene said earlier, if we spend time with God and we really know who He is, then we can fight off all of these other things that come flying at us from all directions. We can extinguish those as soon as they hit us. I blocked it. It's extinguished. It's done. The other cool thing about these shields was that they were pretty big. But the purpose of the shield was to only cover half of you. When you held it, half of you was covered and then extended out. And the purpose was when there was battle, all of the soldiers came together and they formed a wall. And the person standing to my right, his shield covered me. And my shield covered the person to my left. And we would create a wall and the people behind us would bring their shields up and they could create this whole shielded turtle-looking thing. So that when all of the arrows came flying from all directions, you were covered. But there was no way for you on your own to cover yourself completely. And see, that's why we need church. Yes, we can have a relationship with God and stay at home. We can read our word at home. We can listen to podcasts at home. And that's all great stuff. But we need each other because we need each other's faith. We need each other's protection. And we need to come together and cover one another. But here's the thing is you had to trust that the person on your right was going to be there. And too often, we have people falling in battle because they're not prepared. We're saying, okay, we're going into battle. I've got my shield soaked. I'm ready to go. And some goofy guy over here who thinks, oh, it's fine. I got this, right? Usually new Christians, they're like, they're on fire. I don't need anything. I'm going for the Lord, right? Like, I don't care. I got it all. Bring it on. And then, oh, didn't see that one coming. Yeah, I know. We did, right? Like, go soak your shield. Go spend some time with God before you come out trying to fight all these battles and get yourself hurt. But I have to trust that He's going to be there. But if he's unprepared, if He didn't soak His shield, if He didn't spend time with God, He might be there for a second. But all of a sudden, when His shield catches on fire, He's running. And in our walk with God, we come together with people and we surround ourselves as a family and we need to protect one another. But when somebody is unprepared for what God is bringing them to, those flaming arrows are going to cause them to scatter. And we see that all the time. I was hurt. The situation came up. I didn't know what to do. I disagreed. Scatter, scatter, scatter. And what once we thought was covered was no longer covered. Spiritual battle takes the whole family of God. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet protects the mind. Not a deep concept, I understand. But what I like to think about this is, if you watch football, a fairly common foul, but a big foul, kind of like the foul that nobody respects, is a face mask. And it's a foul because all you have to do is take one hand, and sometimes not even a whole hand, just like two fingers, hook it on that face mask, and you control somebody. Goes over there. Goes over there. You can control somebody in their entire actions if you can control their head. And so when Paul is saying, put on the helmet of salvation, he's saying you need to protect your mind and make sure that your mind is covered in salvation. What does that mean? It means that the enemy can no longer mess with your mind. I don't know about you, but when I first became a Christian, I came up to the altar to get saved every time there was a church service. Because I came out and I said, I sinned, God forgive me, come into my life, be my savior. I'd walk out the door and I would sin, because I'm a baby Christian, and I'm still learning. But I would think, my salvation's gone. Obviously, Jesus didn't save me if I sinned. Oh, I got tempted. My salvation must not have been true. And so I spent all of this time thinking I was disqualified from being used by God and thinking that my life was in ruins because the enemy had control of my mind. But when it's covered in salvation, he can't mess with it. He's lost his grip on what you think about, on where you're looking, on what your focus is. Okay, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive part of the armor. I don't know if you put that together yet. It's the only thing that isn't defensive. But if we really understood the Word of God says that God will fight our battles for us. That he will get revenge. See, we want to go out and take out our enemies. We want to slice them up one side and down the other. We want to stab them in the heart with our sword because we are doing it in the name of the Lord. And he says, no. You are much too emotional for that. You can't handle fighting your battles because you're going to hurt people. You're going to cause damage. You're going to cause pain. You're going to destroy this church that I have built. We are simply to speak out the word of God to our situations, to our sins, to our temptations, to our circumstances. You may tell me I'm a failure, but the word of God says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that he has plans for me, that he has promises for me, that he has direction for my life. See, that's different than, we need to talk about this. Let's go outside. And sometimes I've spoken to people. I've told them what the word of God says about me and about my circumstances and about what's going on with them not ever being in the room. Because it doesn't matter, because what we already established is it's not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual forces. So whether that person is in the room or not, I'm going to speak to that situation. I'm going to say, this is what the word of God says about it. But the word of God tells us what we are to do. We're not to go out and fight. We're to forgive. We're to do good. We're to serve. Quiet. Cricket. The enemy comes to destroy. The enemy comes to steal. The enemy comes to lie. If we are going to to defeat the enemy, instead of trying to chase what he is already trying to destroy, we need to get out ahead of him and do good and serve and forgive and love. Because if we can already establish those things, then the enemy is defeated. But what we want to do is we want to say, oh, the enemy was over here and he hurt somebody and he did something wrong, so let me go over here and try to fix it. Let me try to give some sort of word of knowledge to help them get through it, when all we have to do is to go out and serve. Are you serving? Are you doing anything for God? Jesus boiled it down to this: love. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. If we really want to defeat Satan's plans, we have to learn to love like God. And finally, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Even with the armor in place, if we've got all of that figured out, which I don't know if we ever will have that all figured out, but if we were, Paul says, and still just pray. Even if you can get all of that on, even if the belt's not, you know, completely fastened, if the breastplate's a little crooked, if the helmet of salvation, you have to keep readjusting it, if your sword's a little rusty, if your shield's a little dry, even if you can do that, you still need to pray. Paul understood that it was going to be hard. He was writing this letter from jail. He had been through a lot in his journey with God. He knew it was going to be hard. But his final instruction was pray. Once you've got all of that, still pray. Because he knows that when you are connected to the Father begins to align your armor. I can't cover my heart in righteousness on my own. I can't understand the truth of who God is on my own. My faith is only saturated and ready to extinguish when I am in his presence. I only understand my salvation through him. And so he is saying, get into the presence of God, because that is what makes this armor work. It's what helps improve it. It's what helps make it function. Again, it's not about an understanding of who God says he is. It's about a deep trust in who God says he is. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. And God, I thank you that you have given us tools to stand against the enemy. And God, I know that we are in the midst of many battles, and there are arrows coming from every side, and there are attacks coming from every side. But God, I pray that we would be able to stand. God, with all of these pieces of armor attached to us, that we would be able to stand and to not fall back into what we have come from, to not fall into defeat. That God, you say that you fight our battles for us. So God, we stand and we wait for you to open up doors, to open up pathways, to open up roads to salvation. God, to share who you are and what you want in this church. We stand. And God, I pray that we would be able to come together as a family to protect and to cover one another. That we would be prepared for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a blessed week.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.